time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
I wasn't satisfied living a life that someone else was designing for me, and feeling quite stressed and anxious all the time.
If you're interested in learning ways to have more happiness in your personal and professional life, and if you're looking to have a healthier relationship with stress, you're going to absolutely love today's episode with Jay Abbasi. Jay and I are going to be chatting about how to have empowering self-talk, how to navigate overthinking, how to utilize mindfulness, and how to deal with the unexpected twists and turns that life can throw at you. Jay's mission is to leverage his skills and expertise to help professionals build careers they love while avoiding stress, anxiety, and burnout. And he does one-on-one coaching and group coaching. I've been following Jay on LinkedIn for quite a while, and I absolutely love his content. He's a great storyteller, and he's very relatable with the way that he shares these tips and tricks. Jay went from working at Tesla, running sales training at a national level, to doing what he's doing today. And he's going to be sharing some of his personal journey, as well as insights to help you start living your best life. Super excited about this. Let's go ahead and welcome Jay to the show. Jay, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it, Crystal.
For sure. So, I follow your stuff on LinkedIn, and we've connected a while ago. I don't even remember how long ago that was with the pandemic. I feel like everything was like a blur. Yeah. But I love what you share about mindfulness and fulfillment and happiness and stress management. And those are all topics that I think everyone can benefit from. So I'm really pumped to kind of pick your brain a little bit about these subjects. But before we get into all of that, Jay, why don't you share a little bit about your background? Because you had an interesting transition to get you to where you are today. So I would love to hear a little bit about that and the backstory as to how you ended up doing what you're doing now.
Absolutely. Sure. So I think when I think about what brought me here, it really begins when I was working for this finance company many years ago, and I wasn't feeling very fulfilled by the work that I was doing. It was good people. I had all the opportunity to grow there, but I didn't feel like I was really making the kind of impact that I knew I could make. And I was quite stressed. I was in financial debt, and things were not going well, even outside of work in my personal life. And I feel like it was a time in my life where I was on autopilot, where, you know, okay, I was kind of going through the motions, letting other people be the author of my story. And then what happened was my father passed away, and it was very sudden and unexpected, and it really shifted my trajectory. I realized that I don't have as much time as I think I do, and I know I have more to give. I know there is more for me out there, and I wasn't satisfied living a life that someone else was designing for me, and feeling quite stressed and anxious all the time. It just was not the kind of life I really wanted for myself. So I started to make some major changes. I invested in myself. I tapped into mindfulness. I started to really look within to do that internal work to then be able to serve the world in a better way. And I left that finance company. I started working at Tesla. At Tesla, I was given where I found the opportunity to really grow within the company by doing this work on myself. And it got to a position where I was running the national training program for Tesla within the US and Canada. And it was a wonderful role and opportunity for me to coach and train a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then when I left Tesla, I realized there was an opportunity for me to take all of that knowledge, all of that work that I did on myself, and be able to help other people who were stuck in those positions that I was in many years ago. And now I have that great honor of being able to support professionals in that way to help them to really build a career that they love without having to suffer the pitfalls of burnout that so many people are really dealing with these days.
That's amazing. So at this point, are you doing more one-on-one coaching? Kind of what's your platform right now to help people?
So the work that we do is very much personalized for every individual. So there's a lot of one-on-one. We also have a community as well. And we have our clients being able to tap into that community. And there are a lot of resources and ways in which we can support mm-hmm. clients through exercises, activities that really help to shape mindset and to gain clarity on where they're going. So I think that every person is unique. And so mm-hmm. we have to design the right kind of coaching and support for every individual.
So true. So yeah. I want to go back to something that you said, which was that you were kind of on autopilot.
Yeah.
Now, how can someone get out of autopilot? So for the person listening who's like, huh, okay, I haven't really thought about that. Like, how can you get people to, I guess, wake up a little bit to be able to reflect and see the bigger picture and then hopefully make a shift that serves them?
It all comes down to hitting the pause button. We're running and we're running and we're on these treadmills and we're speeding up and we're going faster and faster and faster. And we're not getting anywhere because we're on a treadmill a lot of the time. That's where I felt like I was. And I had to hit the pause button. And so how do you hit the pause button? Well, I think there are a number of ways to do this. I am one who believes in the power of meditation as a way to hit the pause button and to start to really go within and mm-hmm. recognize your patterns, the way in which you're thinking, and just notice the associations that you're making and the work that you do, and really start. And the second part of this is to start asking yourself the hard questions. Mm-hmm. What do I really want? What do I want to be experiencing? What are the things that I have that are my unique strengths that only I can give to the world? And the third part of that, Crystal, is how you can think beyond yourself. Because I find that the greatest motivation that anybody can tap into is when you're doing something that is for a greater vision than just yourself. So right. I'd say if I were to put that into three steps. The first is some activity that requires you to go within, such as meditation. I think yoga has this kind of faculty as well. And the second is for you to ask yourself the more challenging questions that require you to think bigger and think about your future and what it is that you really want. What is it that you're really great at? What really puts you into a flow state? And then the third aspect of this is, how does this then go towards a vision that is greater than myself, towards something where I can make an even greater contribution and impact on the world?
I love that. And I think one thing that helped me make a big shift in my life was recognizing that personal mission that kind of I found when I took time to reflect and I took time to work on myself and give myself permission to think outside the box and to kind of step outside of the roles that I had created for myself or that I had taken on. And when I was able to, I guess, link that to like a greater good or a greater purpose or feeling like that was that part of my personal mission, it gave me courage. Because I think big changes, big shifts can be really scary. And even if things are not going well, you know, humans are creatures of habit. So people may be repeating patterns that just don't serve them, but they're doing it because it's, I guess, comfortable, even if it's not making them happy. Because sometimes change is really intimidating. So I would love to hear your take on how people can get comfortable with change and get that courage and inner motivation to actually make or to do something different, you know, and to take a different direction.
Yeah. The first thing that one needs to do is to be incredibly kind and compassionate towards themselves, which is easier said than done.
Yeah.
There isn't a client that I've worked with that didn't struggle with self-judgment, self-criticism, even really deep issues with self-worth. And I think that the first thing is to not be so hard on yourself, to be kind towards yourself, to be soft towards yourself, and acknowledge that these feelings are there. If you're feeling some fears behind taking on a new challenge, it's perfectly natural. And to not fight those feelings, to not say they shouldn't be there, to not distract yourself from them, to acknowledge their existence with a great deal of compassion. I often say, treat yourself like how you would treat your best friend.
Right.
Treat yourself like how you would treat your child. That's, you know, who's more important than you, right? Who needs care more than you do? You need to care for yourself in order to be able to care for others. So that's the first thing, is to be able to have that kind of softness and kindness towards yourself. And then the second thing, Crystal, I'd say is be able to reframe the experience of the resistance. So what I mean by that is, when you feel that resistance, that fear of what this could mean, or this, the stress of it all, the anxiety of it all, what if instead of thinking of that as a negative thing, you can frame that as your body preparing you to take on the challenge?
Mm-hmm.
What if it was, instead of a negative thing where it's holding you back, it's actually propelling you forward?
Right.
So there are a lot of studies on this. Aaliyah Crumb studies, and it was really presented well by Kelly McGonigal in her TED Talk. And I really encourage anyone listening to watch that TED Talk or read her book, The Upside of Stress, because she really breaks down this research on how we really are able to associate meaning towards our experiences. And therefore, if the sensation of fear arises in us, it is not the sensation that's the problem, it's how we're interpreting it and the story we're telling ourselves about it. So if we can frame it into a more positive experience, mm-hmm. and it is something that's challenging us, it will, instead of it limiting you, it will actually be what propels you forward.
Right. I love that. I totally embrace that. And I didn't always, but when I started to have this self-reflection, and a lot of that for me started after my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So I know you said your dad passed away. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was my mom's diagnosis, where I started to ask those big questions. And I think those like big life experiences can just, they make you stop and they make you pause. Yeah. And they make you reflect. And what worked for me was that realizing like all these things that I'm worrying about just are not that big of a deal in the big picture, you know? Okay. So I feel embarrassed. All right. Maybe people judge me. Okay. So it put it in I reframed it to a place of, okay, well, what would be worse would be me not going for it. And then looking back on my life being like, I didn't really achieve my potential. I didn't really push for it or go for it because I was afraid. So I think, as you said, that reframing up, okay, that feeling of being uncomfortable is part of growth. It's part of personal development. And I should be really proud of myself for doing that and like give myself a pat on the back. And that was one way I was able to overcome a fear of public speaking, which I do all the time now, but just like leaning into it and allowing those feelings to be there. And recognizing that's okay, because that's part of the process. So I would love just to hear like a little bit more about that mindset, because it sounds to me that's like the growth mindset mentality. So if you have any other suggestions for people on how to reframe maybe those like the judgments or the self-talk that can hold us back, I would love to hear it.
Yeah. I want to acknowledge some of the things you said there, and I'm definitely going to get into it, but embrace that you use the word embrace. I love that word. Embrace it, embrace it, embrace it. Don't fight it. Don't push it away. Mm-hmm. Embrace it. And then the second thing you referred to was to have a bit of playfulness and to not take it so seriously. That to me is so valuable. That attitude of playfulness, to not be so rigid with yourself and to always have the self-talk that is so serious and it doesn't have to be that way. And you have this incredible capacity within you, because you're a human being who has this power to be able to determine how you are talking to yourself, how you're approaching yourself, the attitude towards yourself. And all of that makes such a big difference. So the question about how else how else are you able to reframe this? Well, I think the one thing that the practices of mindfulness really provide you with is the ability to be more attuned to your responses or reactions. Let me use the term reaction. So you're more attuned to the reaction. So you notice more and more how you are reacting to instances, and to have a real curiosity about that, to be really intentional and shine the light of awareness onto your habitual patterns. So once you're aware of it, then you can fix it. Because everything we're saying here, right, Crystal, if it's all underneath your consciousness, so it's a subconscious activity, how can you ever fix it? You're at the mercy of it. It will be what fuels your behavior. But if you have this intention each day, and this is applicable, this is action, this isn't just theory. If you intentionally tell yourself, I'm going to be hyper aware of how I am going to be reacting to different circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to approach myself with that attitude of curiosity and self-compassion. And from there, once you have that capacity, you build up that faculty each day, because this is something that builds gradually. You can't just do it in once and it's over. Right. You have to keep building it. Once that practice becomes the norm for you, then the next thing I encourage each person to do is to recognize that every reaction, every response is somehow serving you in one way, shape, or form. Your body is on your side. Your reactions are on your side. They're supporting you in one way, shape, or form. So you have to begin to start asking yourself the questions of, what can I learn from this? How is this helping me grow? What is this teaching me? What is this preparing me for? And if you recognize that you are the author of all of this, you're the one who's in control. You are the one who's creating the meaning of the stress, the anxiety, the fears, and you can shift them towards something that does serve you. You have a faculty that not too many people in this world have. To me, that is what builds resilience. And that's what the great high achievers of the world and the people who make the greatest impact all have in common. They can shift their perspective on these experiences that are all just natural human experiences.
Right. Yeah, that's so well said, Jay. And I want to talk a little bit about stress. And you know, you talked about this TED Talk before, and it's a lot of it is how we perceive these situations and the meaning that we're giving to them. And that's a really powerful statement. And it makes me pause and kind of look at this. I want to look at this a little deeper. So stress is something that everyone can relate to. So if something doesn't go the way you want it to go, if something's unplanned, events happen and unfold in life as they do on a daily basis, then it's a question of, well, how are we going to react to these events that happen? So I know you have great mindfulness practices in place. I want to hear, what can people do to better manage and perceive stress in their lives?
Yeah. So I think there are definitely exercises and things that you can tap into to help in the instance where it becomes overwhelming, because I'm very sensitive to that. I understand that when we talk about stress, that could mean so many different things to different people. But maybe I'll start when you're really in the instance of, I am really struggling. There's something that is really, really demanding of me. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the best thing you can do is slow down your breathing in that instance. Become hyper aware of your breathing, take longer breaths. 4-7-8 breathing is one of my favorite tools to utilize. I'm sure you've heard of it, right? Where you breathe in for 4 through the nose, hold for 7, exhale slowly out for 8. And just allow your body to settle, because that hyper reaction, that fight or flight when it occurs, anything I tell you about reframing the story is going to be really challenging in that instance. Because you're already there. You're already at that point of fight or flight, and any type of cognitive thinking may fall short. So you first need to do something to bring your body to a more relaxed state. So that would be my first thing for those who are really struggling with hyperstress. Now, for more for stress that is more ongoing, for the stresses of work or the stresses of family life, what are the expectations that you hold is one of the big things that really matter here. I always think of it like this. There are levers that can be pulled. We have the lever of perception, which you and I discussed, right? Which is how you frame things. The story that you tell yourself, is this something that is helpful for me? How is it helpful?
Right.
The other lever that you can pull is expectation. So if I hold the expectation that I'm going to have a certain level of demand, something that's going to be coming my way, and I am prepared for it. I am mentally primed for what's going to come my way. I'm also prepared for things really not going the way I expect them to.
Yeah.
I have prepared myself that the worst case scenario is this. I'm ready for it. I've actually thought about it. I've even visualized it. I've gone through maybe like a journaling practice where I'm writing out, hey, it could go this way, it can go that way, and I'm really ready for that. Once you have the expectation at the appropriate level, then when that does come, you've already prepared yourself for what could come your way. So the other lever to pull here is holding healthy expectation. Because if your expectation is an attachment to a specific result and it doesn't occur the way you expected it to, you've set yourself up for that stress becoming something that is burdensome.
Now that's hard though, Jay. I mean, it's hard because I think having expectations or excitement or hope, or even just you have your day kind of generally planned out and then maybe someone's sick that day or you don't feel good or you're on your way to work or a big event and there's an awful traffic jam or an accident. Or so those kind of like big surprises that can be thrown in your path.
Yeah.
Is that then where you would just try and take a step back and be like, what can I learn here? Or, okay, maybe this is helping me in some way, or maybe there's, I don't know. Do you have any suggestions for like in that moment when you're like, oh, I thought it was going to go this way. I was excited about that. And now here I am. Like how can we, I guess, work with that a little bit so that people feel more empowered in those situations?
I could even walk people through this exercise as I'm talking about it, which I think is very helpful. If I asked anyone right now, you included, of course, Crystal, to just bring your attention to your body and just notice how your body feels. You may notice your shoulders, maybe there's some tension there. Maybe you notice your body seated in the chair, your back pressed against it. You're shifting your attention away from the worry and the fear and the stresses and just bringing yourself to the present moment, the body being a very powerful anchor. Breath, of course, we discussed the 4-7-8 breathing is one example, or just noticing your breathing. Or for those who are listening, you right now, as you're listening, if you bring your attention to your hearing and you are only paying attention to the sounds themselves without getting into a major interpretation of what I'm saying. Instead, it's just, this is the experience of me hearing the sound, sound being a very powerful anchor. All these things just bring you to the present moment. Why is that help? Why is that helpful? Because it grounds you into the recognition of right here, right now, I am safe. Right here, right now, I am safe. How am I safe? Well, I don't have a tiger that's jumping at me to bite me at the neck. I have enough food and water for my health. Bringing yourself to the present moment is a very valuable way to remind yourself that you are safe, and that the thing that you are very much worrying about, it is an interpretation of the circumstances. Then I think it's helpful to then ask yourself those questions about, well, what is this teaching me? What can I learn from this? What's the good here? And I want to just comment about that too. I don't mean to suggest that you should pretend that things aren't bad when they are bad.
Right.
Because that's nonsense. If something is bad, it's bad. And if it's hard, it's hard. You know, what you mentioned about what you went through with your mother and what I went through with my mother.
Right.
Those weren't easy times. So I don't want to present this as some sort of sunshine and rainbows, everything is wonderful kind of tactic here. No, we acknowledge the challenges in our lives while still being able to recognize the things that are of benefit to us from what we learned or what we've gained or how we've grown from it.
One thing that helps me is trying to let go of the resistance to the situation. So like you said, if I had expectations for something, I had big expectations for something and it doesn't go the way that I want, it is more stressful for me if I'm resisting that. Like, oh, I can't believe this happened. How, you know, and all that energy that goes into that annoyance and frustration that things aren't the way that I wanted them to be versus, okay, here I am. Here we go. All right. What am I going to do with this new situation now? So like the faster that I can let go of that, like pushing against it, the easier it seems to be for me. So I don't know if that's something that you talk about, that like letting go of that attachment and that resistance and more allowing things to be what they are.
Yeah. Very well said. I think there is a difference between acceptance and resignation.
Right.
You can accept what's happening, as you described, where you're letting go of the resistance and internal acceptance without resigning to the circumstance. You can then have action that you can take, or something that you can say, or some to be able to improve the situation. But ultimately, if you think about any psychological suffering, there is always the aspect of resistance. Mm. Things should be different. Right. It should not be this way. So the training there is a very powerful one, where you can teach yourself to be more accepting of things as they are, while still being able to take action. So I find this to be a very powerful thing that one can do in a meditation practice. And that is, as you're sitting in your meditation, yes, of course, the anchor of the breath and all those are very helpful. Another practice is to be open to whatever arises, a thought, a feeling, a sensation, whatever, and to be fully accepting of whatever comes, to watch it all come and go in your meditation practice, mm-hmm. watch it all come and go without grasping onto anything. Because one of the visuals I like to present to my clients is, whenever it comes to something that you're attaching to, you have to remember that it's as though there are hooks and rings. Okay. So there are hooks and rings. There are no hooks out there. You're the hook.
Yeah.
You're the hook. The rings could be the ring of praise or acknowledgement from someone. The ring could be of success at work. The ring could be in something that you expect of someone in your relationship. But you are the hook that hooks onto the ring. So what you need to do, and what you just described and how you can accept, is to be able to let that hook become more of a straight line, so that if it does interact with that situation, things don't go well at work, you have a challenge with someone in personal life, whatever it is, you don't get caught in that resistance.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That was a really great way to share that, which I'm like visualizing it. It's really neat, Jay, how you're able to do that. You're a great storyteller.
Thank you.
So we are coming close to the end. One last thing I want to talk to you about before we go into the wellness lightning round, or I ask you a couple of fun questions. Any suggestions for how people can deal with overthinking? I think overthinking, where you're just, maybe you're talking yourself out of something that you really should be doing because you're just like going through every scenario that could go wrong, or just you're not able to see clearly because of that overactive mind. Any thoughts, suggestions for people who are experiencing that?
Yeah, I hear that a lot. it is something that's very common in our society. I find that one of the things that fuel overthinking is our addiction to stimulus. And this may not be the answer you were expecting, but hear me out on this, because I find that overthinking is fueled by the fact that we are constantly getting more and more and more and more and more and more information all the time. Yeah. So the thing to do, while of course, many of the things you and I already discussed would help in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. The breathing, the bringing yourself to the present moment, all of those things. But if I'm going to provide someone with a valuable way in which they can approach this from a more holistic perspective, to not just in the instance, but for you to develop this faculty more and more, is to set proper rules for yourself and how you are consuming stimuli. Mm-hmm. So if you are stimulating yourself all the time, where you're always on your phone, you're always scrolling social media feeds, you're always getting the influx of information from email and news, you are fueling overthinking. You're doing it. Maybe you don't mean it, but you are. You're fueling your thinking mind. So those things have value and benefit, but set proper guidelines and make time for yourself to be able to have those moments of pause. Right. Those moments of meditation, those moments of not quieting the mind, but becoming more intimate with your thinking process and allowing the mind to settle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make the time for that more, and you reduce the amount of time of stimulating the mind overstimulating the mind, you will improve in your, reduce the amount of overthinking.
Yeah, no, that's great. One thing that helps me with that is if I have been doing a lot of like content or work, or I'm just like on my computer doing different things and I'm thinking about all these different things I want to get done with work. I love movement and I love getting outside. So yeah. If I can get exercise in outdoors or even just take a walk outside, it's kind of like a moving meditation for me where I just am like, I don't listen to music. If I can leave my phone, I leave my phone and yeah. I just kind of get away from all the technology. And that is a game changer for me because sometimes if I have all this stuff on my mind, trying to meditate is just not going to work for me personally at that moment. I don't know. Do you ever use movement in ways like that? Or does it help you when you have a lot going on?
There's a great book that I just thought of, Chatter by Ethan Cross, where he breaks down a few different things that one can do to quiet the chatter essentially in the mind.
Yeah.
And one of the things he quotes is a research done on going out for walks and how valuable that is and being able to reduce the chatter and be able to be more at peace and not caught up in one's thinking mind. And then the other thing that comes to mind is being able to tap more into right brain thinking. So, you know, our left brain is where the narrative comes in. It's where all that overthinking is happening, right? So when you're taking in all that information, you're really just fueling that left brain. So what can you do to fuel the right brain? Well, what you just described is one way, being active. The other thing that one can do is to be creative. So that could be if you're someone who likes to draw, starting yeah. to have more of a process of drawing, if it's playing the piano or playing music or any activity that would allow you to tap into your creativity is one way in which you can quiet the left brain and be able to tap more into the right brain.
Ooh, I love that, Jay. Well, this has been amazing. You shared a ton of great insights. So we are coming to the end here. Anything you want to share before I ask you a couple fun wellness lightning round questions?
I think the thing I always want to make sure I hit home on is how important it is to be kind to yourself. I know I said that, but I want to just double down on it. I can't tell you, it's just, it comes up over and over and over again. And I feel like the greatest lesson that one of the greatest lessons that anyone's ever taught me was to treat myself well. So I guess that would be my, my takeaway, hopefully, that everyone who's listening remembers to be kind to themselves.
Great advice. And I will put links to your social media and all of your website and all that stuff in the episode details. And I know you're really active on LinkedIn. Is that your main platform? Are there other places people should look to find you?
LinkedIn is the best place for where we post content regularly. We engage quite a bit. And of course, my website, jayabasi.me, anyone can find out any other information about me and the work we do.
Perfect. All right, Jay. So first question I have for you, is there a habit you are trying to break out of right now? And, or is there a habit you're trying to create for yourself?
I'd say I'm going to go with create first, because that one came to mind. I stretch every day, but I want to stretch twice a day because I find it to be such a helpful activity. My body is very tight, so stretching twice a day would be the answer. I just find it just loosens the body. I just feel better. Habit that I want to stop doing. Let's see. I'm very mindful of my filler words, but I think I have opportunity to improve in my communication and reducing the amount of filler words that I use. I think I just did it there. It's something that I notice more and more. I coach a lot of people on, and I want to continue to get better at.
Interesting. All right. I love it. And then last question I have for you, Jay, is knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
I would advise myself to slow down, to ask the harder questions about what it is that I really want, and to let go of my own personal interests, my own selfish desire, and think more about the kind of impact and contribution I can make on others, and to give as much as possible to those who need help.
Amazing. Well, Jay, thank you so much for taking time with me today. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode.
Leaving reviews helps the show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.